Hello and welcome to Yomp Yarns, your Qataran Yomp podcast. The Qataran Yomp is a 54-mile walk in 24 hours. People sign up as individuals or in teams to walk the route through the Scottish Highlands, all in support of ABF the Soldiers charity. We'll be releasing podcasts recorded from live video streams in the run-up to the event in June. These will cover everything you need to prepare for taking on the Yomp, such as training, foot care, what to expect in the day, and the charity itself. So grab a cup of tea, a tonics bar, and settle in. So hi everybody, and welcome to our third and final Yomp Live before the big event in just under 3 weeks. The weekly newsletters are definitely serving as a mostly welcome countdown for me. 2 weeks coming up on Friday is definitely a bit nerve-wracking. But it's a great time to start talking about logistics, talking about the charity, and hearing from Charity Ambassador Lee on really why we're all here, to raise funds for ABF the Soldiers charity. Just a few housekeeping things. As Kate has said, please just make sure you're muted. We are recording the session, so any noise that comes through will be recorded, and then people listening at home afterwards will also hear any background noise. And the video and audio will be posted online. The video will be on YouTube, and the audio will be on all the usual podcast platforms. So hello to anyone listening post live. So today the format is going to be it's going to be myself talking to Steve, the head of events at the charity, about kind of logistics, what to expect, answering any common questions. We'll do a Q&A at the end. We have had a few questions come in, but if there's anything else you would like us to cover, please just pop them on the chat or send me an email. But first, we're going to hear from one of the charity ambassadors, Lee Harris-Hamer. The charity supported him a few years ago, and he's going to give you an update and talk about the impact that the charity had in his life. So, Lee, over to you.
Hi, good evening, everyone, and happy Sunday. It's great to be here, and it's very inspirational to hear about the amazing event that's happening and the amazing things you guys are doing. You know, the Yomp is a huge thing, and especially for the charity. So I'm going to tell you a bit about my story and how I've got involved sort of as a beneficiary with the charity, how the charity helped me. My story isn't really, is a story, but the story really isn't here to make you feel sorry for me, but actually to try and influence you guys to fundraise more and actually see where that money goes and what that money does. Because as you all know, the charity is absolutely incredible, but it's played a huge part in not only my life, but a huge network around my life. And I'll be forever thankful for what the charity's done to me, for me and my family. So I joined the Royal Artillery in 2009. I served 8 years, and I was fortunate to be on a promotion course. But unfortunately, I sustained an injury. And when I sustained that injury, it totally, the whole day changed my life. And because one day you're this big, strong soldier that's like achieving, you know, to the next day, you know, you've lost everything. I thought I was going to lose my home. I nearly lost my marriage. You know, I was going to lose my children. I was losing my career. And what do you do that in that situation, you know? And so I sustained a back injury. So basically my T3, 4 and 5 exploded. And so I was in severe pain. And then my mental health kicked in, and that's really what affected me the most, because how can you transition yourself from the military to civilian street when you're not okay, you know? And that's where and I had a young son who was 9, and I was married. I was 25 at the time. Hadn't a clue what to do. I've been in the military since I was 16, so I hadn't really got much experience in the civilian world or had many qualifications that I could fall back on. So I was really in a shit situation, I'm not going to lie. And so basically I got put in the PRU, which is personal recovery unit in Catrick. And we started working with the ABF, and the ABF gave me some funds to re-kick my career. So I decided to go self-employed. I didn't really know what to do. And when adversity happens, adversity puts you in amazing, it can put you either in an amazing situation or a poor situation. I was very lucky that I used my adversity and ran with it. And I decided to set up a carpet cleaning business. And it sort of like found me. So I was working with autistic boys and carpet cleaning. But how do you start a carpet cleaning business? How do you even start a business? You know, what do you need to start a business with? So initially the ABF initially funded, I got a laptop and some stuff to do some coursework and stuff like that. And then they put me on a self-employment small business awareness course through X Forces Enterprise. And then they put me on carpet cleaning courses, which cost quite a significant amount of money. But also I had the support from them, you know, so I had the liaison officer that was checking to make sure I was okay, to make sure my family's okay, you know, that guided me through the process, you know, and just having that support and having a charity that you can fall, not even charity, people that you can fall back on that really peeled you off the floor when no other person was there. You know, when no family and friends was there, you know, because they didn't want to be around me because I was negative, the charity was there for me, you know, and they helped me set up this this business. And especially when you have not a business background, it was amazing. And so that was back in 2006. So now I've gone on, I employ over 40 members of staff. So I've got 46 members of staff on my books at present. And my business is going, it's absolutely exploding, you know, and I couldn't have done that without the charity, you know. So the charity funded me during the early days and supported me during the early days. It's not only enabled me to feed my family and put a roof over my family's head and have the know-how how to do my job, it's also enabled me to give an opportunity to 46 people to feed their families, to allow them to be employed and on the unemployed, you know. And it just has a wider effect on the huge community. And that's why like fundraising is so important for the charity, and putting on amazing events like this, and amazing people like you that turn up to these events, you know, that tells your friends, you know, that reposts on your social media platforms of the amazing event, and trying to really get them funds is key, because it's not just me that's helping. There's a huge lot of beneficiaries out there that needs that support and is currently getting that support. And ABF to Soldiers Charity do, they support the military community for life. This isn't just like a one-off, you know. Like I say, they still continue to support me if I need somebody, or I met up with my liaison officer the other day because she's just checking in to make sure me and my family are okay, and you know, that I'm on the straight and narrow. So they do generally support you for life. And like I say, and it's very thankful for all to the guys like you that go out day to day and help fundraise and do events like this. And also, what an opportunity you get to walk 56 miles around the Scottish Highlands, you know. That's amazing. You know, it definitely breaks the day out of the office, that's for sure. So going into the fundraising, how can I sort of like, I want to really encourage you to as fundraise as much as possible, you know, and as so does the charity. And I'm sure that you have your targets. So when you look at the leadership board, you know, there's some amazing figures up there. There's some people that's really putting some groundwork in to get them funds. So, you know, if everybody raised £400, if 1,000 people raised £400, you know, that's £400,000 for the charity. If you add just an extra £20 to your fundraising pot, or help get £20,000 or get donations of £20, you know, 1,000 people getting £20 extra is an extra 20,000 people, you know. And so if you've got all these people doing this yomp, surely we can get this event to £1 million. You know, surely we all need to be ambitious, you know. And how can we do that? We can tell your friends and family, you know, get on their nerves, make sure they're posting and they're reposting, you know, get them to spam all their friends, tell them to like support, spread it with your network. You know, I always got told your network is your net worth, you know. And that, again, that's important for the charity and important for you, because the bottom line is, we're not only, you guys are not only participating to do the YOMP, you know, you're participating to help fund the charity, to make sure the charity's got life left in it in another 75 years. So that obviously the charity's 75 years now, we want the charity to have another 75 years. And also, we want the charity to support more families like myself. You know, we need more to also, not just myself, you know, all the other veterans and service leavers that are supporting. It's phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal what the charity does. And I'll be forever grateful. So just do your best, you know, a massive good luck to you all. You know, make sure you take some blister cell for your blisters and make sure you prep. And that's massive, and I'll be supporting you. I'll be following you on social media, and I think I've been that inspired. I'm going to get all my staff to do it next year with myself, and set a team up to take it forward. So like I said, it's had a significant amount of effect on my life, you know, and my staff's life and everybody else that's around me. So and it's thanks to you guys for fundraising that's allowed that to happen. So I'll be forever grateful for the charity. You know, like I said, a massive good luck, and really dig deep, guys, really dig deep. So I don't know if anybody's got any questions that you want to ask, or hopefully I'll try covering it all.
I think if people do have questions for Lee, then put them in the chat, and as we go through the logistics talk, I will interrupt Steve and have someone more interesting talking. But a massive thank you to Lee. It's been brilliant just seeing how your kind of business has grown over the last year that I've known you. And I would love for the YOMP to reach £1 million. That's obviously, like, you know, one of our massive goals, is to grow how many people take part and how much it raises. And I'm going to hold you to entering a team next year.
No, absolutely, Amy. Like, I'm very, very, very interested. And yes, £1 million is ambitious, but you can do anything when you put your mind to it. Like my 6 years, I never thought I'd be in this situation where I am in today. And very fortunate situation that I've been in with the help of the charity. So yes, £1 million is ambitious, but I'm pretty sure all these amazing people can dig deep and just keep telling your network, post it on social media. Social media is huge, guys. You know, that one click, if everyone has 200 friends, you know, and they see five of your posts, that's 500 people that could possibly see your posts. You know, so I reckon I'm feeling confident that these guys can do it. I really am.
Amazing. Love your confidence. We have absolute faith in all of our YOMPers as well. Great. So thank you very much, Lee. We will move on to the second part of our YOMP Live, logistics and what to expect on the actual weekend. So joining me here, I've got Steve, who is the head of events at ABS The Soldiers Charity, and he is also one of the founding members of the YOMP team. So if anyone knows the answers to the questions, then it will be him.
Hi everybody, thanks Amy. Yeah, put me on the spot before I even start, thank you.
Pleasure. Right, so we've had our lives on foot care, we've had a discussion on training. So we've got you to the YOMP, we've got you to the start line. What can people expect as they take part, as they walk that 54 mile route? What kind of terrain will they cover? What weather can they expect? You know, what special surprises have we got lined up?
So if we start on the Friday, the Friday afternoon evening, when everyone gathers at Bogglesfield and collects their race numbers and their timing chips and listens to the safety briefing, eats pasta, catches up with the team and really gets ready for the day ahead. It's the most fantastic atmosphere. You're surrounded by the Perthshire Hill, by the Perthshire Hills. We've got strawberry fields over the horizon, and they all come by, and there's plenty of fresh strawberries around. And it really is a chance to just ask any final questions, prepare yourself mentally and physically for what's going to happen the next morning. There's a bar, there's a bit of music, there's a really nice atmosphere. It's a great chance for people to reconnect after a long time apart from friends and people they haven't seen over a number of years, and a great chance to get together with your team as well and get ready. Then first thing on Saturday morning, up and out. Starting from 6 o'clock, there will be waves leaving at set intervals, so you'll get your wave time the night before. And the reason we do that is because some of the route's quite narrow, there's a few gates to go through, a few stiles to go through. If everyone all sets off at the same time, you'll spend the first 2 hours of the day stood in a queue. So we give you your wave times, make sure you start at your wave time. It gives you the best chance of keeping a steady, even pace across the whole event, which was talked about in the training event. There are checkpoints and water stops as you go around. So each of the water stops is a real chance to just restock, refuel, keep going. So don't stop long at the water stops, but each of the water stops will have chance for a brew, chance to fill up your water bottle, and snacks to kind of keep you going. The real trick is not to stop too long. There's toilets there, there's a little bit of shelter there, there's a chance to change socks if you need to with a couple of chairs, but really just fill up your water bottle, which should be empty by the time you get to the next water stop, and keep going. The real trick to getting around the whole event is slow and steady. You will see people tearing off and really going for it, and then you'll also see them lying down at bronze because they've burnt themselves out. To get through the whole 54 miles, find a steady pace, keep feeding, keep drinking, keep morale high, and it's amazing how far you'll go. We've got the main checkpoints. So the first checkpoint you get to is checkpoint one, which is at Kirkmichael in a beautiful banner field in a lovely little village called Kirkmichael. And that's a real chance for like a lunch stop. So wraps, smoothies, great food. That's the first point you'll meet your support team. The key there is to sort your footwear out, sort your clothing out, get some food into you. So if you've got any hot spots, if you've got any trouble with your feet, change your socks, tape your feet, get them sorted. If you're too hot, too cold, change your kit. Hopefully your support crew have got some spare kit to help that you can either drop kit if it's a lovely, beautiful sunny day and you don't need to carry the 15 fleeces you were wearing at the start line. And if it's cold and raining, a chance to get some extra waterproofs. Then up and over the big climb of the route, which is Enechdu. So it's not a mountain, but it's a significant hill. And it climbs up for a decent amount of time. And there's a treat halfway up to keep you going. But when you get to the water stop at the top of the hill, it really is a great moment. You look out over, I think actually that's behind Amy's background is the view from around there. It really is some of the most beautiful scenery in the whole of Scotland. It's great. And then you come down into Glenshee, which is the bronze finish. 22 miles in, so not far off a marathon distance already. And you're at bronze. Chance for a good feed there. Hot food, proper chance to put your feet up, have a little rest. But again, the key is do not stop for too long. We are absolutely delighted this year that that spot is being sponsored by Famous Grouse. So there's going to be music there. There's going to be a chance to have a wee nip just to keep your spirits high. And I think it's just going to be a beautiful spot in a real highlight of the whole weekend. That'll be great. Then it's cracking on into the punchy part for many different reasons in the hill. We go over the famous Beanie Log. Now, again, it's incredibly beautiful. You are surrounded by mountains. It really is lovely. If it rains between now and the Yomp and across the Yomp weekend, your feet are likely to get wet. It's a bog for a reason. But it's also if we get lovely sunshine, it's going to be dry underfoot. So just be prepared for that section. We go up past Arkantopol, where there's some neeps and tatties and a beautiful loch as we walk around. And then we get to the silver checkpoint at Glen Isla, 36 miles in. So an ultra marathon has to be over 30 miles. So you've already done an ultra marathon by this point. For a lot of people, the sun is starting to set. You've been on your feet a long, long time already. The key, I think, is to get out before it's dark. Get in, get a massage if you need it, get your socks changed again, make sure your feet are fine, get some more hot food. Support crews can eat there as well, so it's a great dinner stop. And then get out as soon as you can. There's still a long way to the finish. The route after Glen Isla is undulating. It's up and it's down. It's dark. It's not, you know, flat roads underfoot. There's a real mix of terrains. So the key now is just mind over matter. Keep going. This is where your team make a massive difference. You know, three of you walking, up to six of you walking, all part of the same team, you'll have highs and lows at different times. When you're high, drag people along with you. When you're low, get your team to drag you along. That's what gets you to the finish line. There's three more water stops before we get to the finish line. Chance for more hot food, chance for more brews, chance to keep the water bottle topped up. Keep eating, keep drinking, keep those energy levels, and getting to the finish is genuinely going to be one of the most amazing experiences of the year. I've been at the Yomp ever since the very first year, and the main thing that I've learned is that when you're standing at the start line and you look at all of the people there, you do not know who's going to finish that event. This doesn't matter whether you're 75 years old or a 22-year-old Marine, you've got the same chance as getting to the finish line. And it's amazing how actually it's the 75-year-old who's trained properly, who's got the miles in their legs, that cruises past the 22-year-old Marine who was giving it the big I am at the start. I'm going to throw the Navy under the bus because it's always fun being in the Army charity. And it's the Marines that are struggling and dropping out. And it's the people that have been slow and steady, have prepared and have the mind over matter to get to the finish. And getting to that finish is brilliant. And it's the most well-deserved medal you can ever earn. So we wish you good luck with it all. And hopefully you've got the participant pack, which has lots of detail in it, and you've read that. But if there's any questions at all, just shout.
That's a bold statement there, that it's the best medal you could ever earn for a military charity to say. I'm not saying I disagree at all, but thank you for that overview. Hope that gives everyone an idea of kind of what to expect. So you mentioned Friday night and registration. What is registration and why is it so important? Why do we insist that everybody registers on the Friday night?
So registration is absolutely essential to the smooth running of the event. So it's really key that everyone arrives the night before, they pick up their race number, they pick up their timing chip, which is the way we log people around the route. We can check your medical details, we can check your next of kin, we can make sure that you hear our safety briefing, which gives you all the information on what to do in an emergency. Now, no one thinks it's going to happen to them, and it won't, but it's about making sure that you know what to do if something bad happens, or if you come across somebody who is in trouble. So it's really important that you hear that information. And you also get a chance to know what the weather's like the next day, know of any changes to the route, know of any things just to be extra aware of before we start the next day. We're also absolutely delighted to say that we're going to have a speaker, a former employee of the charity, actually, who is a Falklands veteran, who was a big part of our grants team for a number of years, who's going to be talking about his experiences of being in the Falklands. It's the 40th year anniversary this year, and of how the difference that the fundraising makes. And I really can't emphasize enough how amazing it will be to hear him speak. So do make sure you're there for the safety briefing and to registrations. And it's a great chance to eat some pasta and get a real fuel up before you go the next day as well. You know, it's a big carb load before you start. And it's, when you're 40 miles in, that big feed on the Friday night does make a difference.
Great, thanks, Steve. And you've mentioned support teams quite a few times while you've been talking. Why are support teams important?
We can't promote support teams enough. Support teams are teams with good support teams get significantly further than teams without. The difference a support team makes is not just the fact that you don't have to carry all of your kit, that you can have three pairs of boots in the back of the van or a pair of trainers to change the pressure on your feet at different checkpoints. It's seeing a friendly face. It's knowing that they're there waiting for you and that you've got to keep going to get to see them. It's knowing that they're at the finish line and that you've got to get to the finish line because they're there. The difference both from a logistical point of view, but also from a morale point of view, is massive. The thing that they can have as well is they can have all of your favorite things in the car. Our food is delicious. Our snacks are delicious. We've got so much food. You finish the yomp heavier than you start. But if you've got that extra thing that makes the difference to you at 2 o'clock in the morning, your support person can have that in their boot and have it ready there waiting for you. Again, it's the morale side of things. So much of the yomp is mental as well as physical, and the support team really make a difference in that front.
And while support teams aren't compulsory to take part, as Steve said, we really, really recommend that you have one. Even if it's just one person, make sure that they are there to look after you and look after themselves as well. They need sleep as much as everybody else does. And they can't help you if they're not looking after themselves.
And we look after the support crews as well. So the support crews get food at the event hub and they get food at Glen Isla, which is the silver finish. So there's hot food for them. And actually, there's a really lovely camaraderie among the support teams. You know, they're there at the checkpoints and they're waiting for you to get in. And actually, there's a really lovely, atmosphere. And they, you know, we found that over the years, people really make friends and friends for life on the yomp. And actually, whether they're taking part or a support crew or volunteering, you know, it's a really amazing weekend that can form really strong bonds.
And another thing that we talk about quite a bit on the newsletters is having to be in a team of three or more at all points. Why do we need people to be in groups? And how do we match people up?
So the teams are really, really important, not just for the morale side of things that we're talking about, as you all have highs and lows at different points and you can help each other through. What a team also provides is an extra safety system. I mean, in Amy's picture, you can see parts of the route are incredibly remote. There's not necessarily phone signal across the whole route. All of the things that we get used to in living in a city or living somewhere with connections, Highland Perthshire does not have a lot of that infrastructure in place. We have mountain rescue, we have event doctors, we have an incredible support system out on the route. We need to know, and that's where a team of three makes a big difference. If one person puts a foot in a rabbit hole, you know, I'm not even talking just something that any of us could do when you're dark and you're tired and you suddenly can't walk any further, one person can stay with them and one person can go for help. And that's a simple rule that we have in place across the event weekend: stick in teams of three. Again, morale and safety.
And I have been emailing everybody that is signed up as an individual and is signed up as a team of two or less, asking for information like what distance are you going for and how long are you expecting to take. And this is so that I can pair you all up with people who are going at a similar speed to you, and people who are aiming for a similar distance to you, to hopefully pay off a good group and give you a team that will last the whole way around. What will also happen is if you find that at bronze you have lost your team, whether you came with them or not, we will make sure that you are paired up with other people before you leave, just to make sure nobody is on those remote routes on their own.
What we find as well is that it's a really social event. It's a chance to talk to people, and you fall into step with people from all different backgrounds and all different environments. We've got, FTSE 100 directors to American veterans taking part. And half of the joy of taking part in the OMP is that you walk with these different people and you hear their stories and you fall into step with different people. Yeah. If you see a lone walker, adopt them. If you're a lone walker, join a team and get chatting. We've had people taking part in the OMP for years and years and years who signed up as an individual, but then found a group of people and walked with them. And then year on year, they've come back and done it all together, and it's their big reunion. So it's that army mentality of look out for each other, stick together, finish together.
And hopefully no one will ever need to actually use this advice or information. But if there is an emergency, Steve, what should people do?
So we have an event control, which is manned across the entire weekend. That has all of the right contacts and all of the locations of the nearest people. So event control is always the first point of call. Like I say, we've got the mountain rescue, we've got the event doctors, we've got paramedics, we've got people that will be there before 999 will be there. So if there is an emergency, call event control. Open the participant pack, put the event control number in your phone right now, save it as a contact. If it's there, you won't need it. The support across the whole event is unparalleled. We really do make sure that you're supported. We really try to stick to those army values of making sure that the support is there, that you're looked after the whole time, that you are, you're putting yourself out there and you're pushing yourselves, and it's up to you to push yourself and get yourself to the finish line. But if you need help, it is there. And so support is there. It is at the end of the event control number.
As I said, fingers crossed that you'll never need to know this information. But as Steve said, make a note of the numbers. They'll always be on the back of your participant number as well. So we kind of put them everywhere that we possibly can in the hope that at least one of them will stick. Great. So we've kind of covered the weekend, registration, support teams, emergencies, things like that. Is there any other advice that you have for our Yompers? Like, what are your top tips, Steve?
I think enjoy it. It's a brilliant, brilliant weekend in some amazing scenery, pushing yourself mentally and physically. But also, as you heard from Lee earlier, the difference you're making is life-changing, genuinely life-changing. And you should feel very proud of what you're doing, that you're taking part in an amazing event, but also you're raising money for people who signed up for Queen and Country, and they signed on the dotted line, and we then have a responsibility to support them. And that's what the Army's National Charity does. That's what ABF the Soldiers Charity does. We're there for every soldier, veteran and family member. And the only way we're able to do that is because people like you take part in crazy events like this and raise money and share the word and get groups together and come back and do the event. So enjoy it, know that you're making a difference, spread the word far and wide, and then just Again, those tips I mentioned earlier, slow and steady, pace yourself, eat regularly, drink regularly. Yeah, look after yourselves and try and keep morale as high as you can the whole way around.
Great, thank you. And just to remind everybody, the last chance of our pasta party tickets is pretty much today. We're going to confirm catering numbers this week. So log into your online accounts, buy your pasta party tickets. If you have a pasta party or ticket already, it will say on the page. So if it doesn't, you haven't got one. And don't forget as well, Steve mentioned that we feed support teams. So the first two members of your support team eat for free. And if you have more than two, if you're lucky enough to have more than two people looking after you over the weekend, then they can buy meals across the weekend. So it's £5 per meal. Again, you can buy these on your page or you can drop me a line and I can sort that out for you. Great. We're now going to do a Q&A. We have had a few questions already, but again, if there's anything that you want answered, any questions that you have that we haven't covered already, please post them on the chat. It's the quickest way we will see it. So the first question is, Ed has asked, will there be plenty of snacks at Waterstop and checkpoints? How much should he carry when it comes to food?
So the short answer is yes, there is lots of food. The yomp is never knowingly undercatered, so there is plenty of food for everyone to eat, whether that's from the Friday night pasta party to breakfast on the Saturday morning to provisions at the water stops and then the bigger meals at the checkpoints. It's always worth taking a couple of extra favourites. I mean, nothing quite beats opening up your favourite pack of sweets at a low moment or something like that, but don't feel like you need to bring every single piece of fuel across the whole event. Don't pack your bag full of 25 kilograms worth of provisions because you're not going to need it.
And then Matt has asked, how do we get another car park pass for support vehicles?
Yes, so any questions like that, do just email the yomp at soldierscharity.org inbox and we can arrange for you. If every support crew gets one car park pass and the two support crew feeding tickets, any additions to that, speak to the team, and for food there's an additional £5 charge per person, and for cars we can arrange an extra pass, maybe make a donation to the fundraising page.
Great. And so Lee actually has asked, is there a hashtag for social media for the event? What should people do if they're posting on social media?
Yeah, so we're using hashtag YOMP22 for this year's event, whether that's on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. So we're not quite on TikTok yet. It feels a bit beyond my, yeah. But if anyone's a TikTok expert, come and chat. So yes, hashtag YOMP22, YOMP22.
We also use Catran Yomp and Catran Yomp 2022. We've expanded to numerous hashtags.
So taking over the hashtag.
I'll find you.
Yeah, I feel like we're a bit old for TikTok. Mm. Maybe if there's someone out there who can help explain it to us.
No one's ever old.
Is that you volunteering me? Great, so Kelly has asked, are there bathrooms at each checkpoint?
Yes, so there are lots of toilets at the main event hub, and then there will be toilets at every checkpoint and water stop except water stop 2, which is at the top of the Enoch Do, that's the lunch hut stop. There are toilets at the bottom of the hill and a big sign on the toilets that says, these are the last toilets before Glenshee, which is the bronze finish. So there's lots of toilets around the route, but the only place, the only stop where there isn't toilets is Waterstop 2.
You'll see why there aren't toilets at Waterstop 2 when you get there. It is just logistically impossible to get them there. Right, so Josh has asked, is there GPS signal throughout for those using watches to track the walk?
So yes, there is GPS signal across the whole event. It's worth pointing out at this point that, not to get into the technicalities of it, but the GPS mapping software is a limited number of satellites. If two people are walking side by side, both tracking their routes on GPS, across 54 miles of Scottish terrain, across through forests, over hills, in valleys, you will have two different figures at the end. There is a variation of between 5 and 10% on GPS tracking that you don't notice when you're doing a 5K run around your local park, but across 54 miles adds up to quite a considerable distance. Don't necessarily trust the distance on your GPS tracking. The route has been mapped by Army Mapping, by five different mapping companies over the years, and it's plotted to within an inch of its life. So if your watch is saying at the finish line you've done 52 miles, it's under, and if your watch at the end is saying you've done 56 miles, it's over.
And if you do want to read more, at the end of the map pack and the participant pack is a link to an article that explains that in much more technical detail than we could. So make sure you read them. And talking of the Yomp packs, GW is asking, is there a mandated kit list?
Yes. So we have a very light mandated kit list, but there is a mandated kit list. It's really, again, about personal safety. So it's about keeping warm and being able to be contacted and seen. So look in your participant pack, check the kit list, and make sure that you have all of the items that are mandated. There is a kit check at checkpoint 2 before you go out into Beanie. And we just make sure that you have all of the kit that you'd need. Again, it's just, it's often the most innocuous thing that can catch people out. It's twisting your ankle on a in a rabbit hole. It's slipping and hurting your knee. And if the weather's not great and you're in a very remote place, it's amazing how quickly and easily it is for a situation to get unnecessarily bad quickly if you don't have the right kit with you. So do make sure that you have a look at, read the participant pack, check out the mandated kit list, and have those items in your bag.
And just as a reminder, the participant pack was sent out 9 weeks ago in the weekly newsletters. If you haven't got that, go check your junk. If you still can't find it, then send me an email on yomp@soldierscharity.org and I'll send you all the information. But there is a lot of useful information in these weekly newsletters, so please make sure that you read them all. Great. And so Stephen Turner has asked, will there be a GPX map download available?
Yes. Although linking to Emma's question around the number of trees that are down in the area, there were some incredibly brutal storms that hit Scotland at the back end of last year and early this year, and it has caused extensive damage across huge sections of Scotland. So we've been working very closely with the Forestry Commission and with Perth and Kinross Countryside Trust, who managed the route throughout the rest of the year. And there are a number of diversions on this year's event. All of it will be signed. It will all be in your map packs. It will all be in the maps that you receive at registration every participant gets given a map with the route on it, and it is the final route will be signed the week leading up to the event. So there is a chance that work that was scheduled to happen hasn't happened, or there has been additional damage done the week leading up to the event, which is why the key element is attend the safety briefing on the Friday night, where you'll hear of any changes that have been made, and follow the arrows that are set out across the whole 54-mile route. So the arrows designate the route. Don't follow a GPX or another thing blindly. Follow the arrows that are set out.
Great. I hope that answers your question, Stephen and Emma. So just going back a little bit, diverting a little bit to food. Sarah has asked, are there options for food allergies such as gluten and dairy intolerance?
Yes, there are. So we are, as Amy said, pulling the final catering information together this week. We asked you dietary requirements as part of registration. Some of you registered a while ago if you've deferred from previous years. So if anything has changed, please let us know ASAP. But we are going to provide both gluten-free and vegan options.
Great. And just to say, we order food based on what people have told us. So if one person tells us, one person out of 1,000 tells us that they are gluten-free, then we will order enough for that person and a few more. But then if 100 people turn up and decide they want the gluten-free option, we won't be able to cover that. So even if you think it's a silly food intolerance, let us know and we can cover you. We cannot plan for anything we don't know. Great. And Alex is asking, is there a way for friends and family to track us at home with our participant number?
Unfortunately not this year. We have timing chips that attach to people's wrists and you dib in to each checkpoint. Until those boxes come back to event control, it doesn't get uploaded to the central system. We're able to see it locally, but it doesn't get uploaded to the central system for it to be shared on the internet for friends and family. So unfortunately not. Most people will carry phones with them, bring extra battery packs so you can keep your phone charged the entire time. But I would absolutely recommend getting to the top of the hill and posting a picture on Facebook or Instagram of you having got to the top of this spot or reached the bronze checkpoint. And that's the best way of updating friends and family. And a great chance to share your fundraising page as well.
Great. And last question in the chat from James R. Have you got any advice for support crews driving around the route? Any parking areas that they can wait in?
Yes, so there's plenty of parking at the three checkpoints. So at Kirkmichael, Glen Shee and Glen Isla. And one thing you do have as a support crew is lots of time. So on a beautiful Saturday in the start of June, the glorious weather, as I'm sure we're going to get, it really is a chance just to enjoy a nice weekend in the beautiful Highland Perthshire. So yes, go to the checkpoint, set up, get ready for your team, ready and waiting, but have a wander into Kirkmichael and go to the local cafe there. It's a really lovely place. There's some amazing little villages nearby that you can go and visit. There's a chance to really explore. Glen Shee is going to be a great place to be. There'll be, yeah, the famous grouse house there and places to, you know, have a little walk yourself up the hill just to see where people are. No, I think it's really just a case of enjoy the weekend, get talking to the other support crews, enjoy the scenery, plenty of parking at the car parks, at the checkpoints, and enjoy it.
And again, in all of your weekly newsletters, there is a support crew pack. which has all the locations and the importantly the opening times for all the checkpoints that they can visit. So make sure your support crew have a copy of that. We don't send this out to support crew because we don't collect their email addresses. We only ask for their names and telephone numbers for use over the YOMP weekend. So you are responsible for communicating all the important information to your support crew. So that is it. There are no more questions. If anyone has any last minute questions, please pop them in the chat now. Otherwise, as always, you can post in the Facebook group, you can message the Catalan YOMP on Facebook, or you can email me on yomp@soldierscharity.org. We aim to get back to you as quickly as possible, but do bear with us. With 3 weeks to go before the event, we are a small team. And don't forget, there's also an FAQ page on the website, which hopefully answers a lot of the questions. So no more questions have popped up while I've been talking. So just a massive thank you to Lee again for your time on a Sunday evening. Great getting an update from you and hearing your story and how the charity has helped you. Thank you to Steve as well for your time and for answering all the questions. And thank you to all of you for tuning in, and I look forward to meeting as many of you as possible over the YOMP weekend.